Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 9. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 9. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verse 9 reads this way. It says, "And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they might see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you once again for the privilege of gathering together as your people and asking and calling upon you for your blessing on this service, that you might bless us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you and to worship you. And Lord, that you might be exalted in our lives and our hearts and minds. And Lord, that you might create in us a heart after you, and that you would make us to be the witnesses that would honor and glorify you, and that we would be found ready when you return. Bless the service tonight, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is "He That Hath Ears to Hear." He that hath ears to hear. Now, when we stop and think about ears to hear, if everything is functioning right, if you have ears, you are hearing. But he's specifically directing this whole conversation or this whole message here on how we hear and receive what we're hearing. Because the lost world hears the same message, but they reject the Lord, and so therefore they don't hear the same way that you and I hear. God has blessed us with salvation, and through salvation, that changes everything. And it changes our hearing too, does it not? Now we hear with an expectant heart because we know how great our God is. The world doesn't understand that. The world approaches the Lord with their human reasoning, and that can go every which way and every which direction. And then they might think, well, you know, maybe I'm too smart for that. Or maybe you've heard this before: Christianity is a crutch. Well, praise God, because I need one. Amen. Praise God, because I've been wounded by sin. In fact, I've been killed. Amen. I was dead in my trespasses and sins until Jesus opened up my heart and mind and understanding. And so I praise the Lord for that. And that's the work of God. And so we have to thank the Lord for that. And so now when I approach the Word of God, I see things that God shows me, and I can hear things that God has opened up my hearing to hear and understand. Likewise, he's done that for you and I. So really, this parable of the sower has everything to do with how we hear the Word of God and the effect that it will have in and on our lives. And so this truth, or any truth really from the Word of God, is not negotiable. It is simply the truth of God's Word, or it's just simply the way it is. Now, the world doesn't understand that. The world is not excited about God's plan, and that's simply because the devil is the prince and the power of the air, and rebellion resides in our heart against the authority of God until we get saved. We don't understand it. And so God is going to see fit that his word will be fulfilled exactly as he said it will be. Now, we can discuss why that's going to be. One, for the first reason is because he's God. Secondly, is because he's already been there. That's kind of hard for me to understand, because God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And so he already sees things as being completed, as being done. And yet we have the privilege of walking in that truth. So let's look at a couple of things concerning what the Lord was sharing with his disciples and with those that were there hearing. That is simply the way that the sower is explaining, or the parable of the sower. We have four different types of ground. It's not the seed that's in question, it's the ground that's in question. The seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God never returns void. Do we believe that tonight? Amen? So there are seed by the wayside. That's the first thought. There are seed that falls on stony ground. And there are seeds that fall among the thorns. And then there are seeds that fall on the good ground. And here's the good news. If you're saved, the seed of the Word of God has fallen on good ground. We have received the Word of God. now we can allow the Word of God to produce the fruit that God intended it to do. So let's back up here to verse 4, and let's look at this seed that fell by the wayside. Look at verse 4. It says, "And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up." So this is the soil by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Well, let's go to verse 15 to get more clarification on that. In fact, look at verse 14 just for a moment. It says, "The sower soweth the word." So we know what the seed is. It's the word of God. "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard it," listen to this, "Satan cometh," not annually, not next year, not in a month, "but immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." Isn't that amazing? Immediately, Satan doesn't rest. He's looking to take it out so that there's no fruit there. And so these are those that are by the wayside. And it's amazing how you can gain the attention. And by the way, listen, it's not anything that we can do. And we simply have to be like Joseph and allow the brothers to do their bidding. And we have to be like Joseph and allow Potiphar's wife to do her bidding. We have to be like Joseph and wait upon the Lord until the time is right. So don't get frustrated. I know that, listen, that we want to compel them to come into to the Lord, to know the Lord. But it's the work of God. So what we do is we share the truth of God's word. How many times, I can't tell you, that somebody just seemed like, oh, they were ready to trust the Lord. And they said, not right now, not today, making the assumption that there'd be another day or a better day or a more convenient time, as Paul was talking with Felix. There'll be a better time. There'll be another time. And that's not the case, is it, really? We're not guaranteed another time. By the way, listen, not just because of life, but because of maybe where our hearts and minds are at. I'll never forget when I was pastoring in Kentucky, there was this fellow that his wife had been a longtime member of the church there. And anyway, I had Brother Rick Adams come in revival, and we were out visiting, and I told her we'd make it a point to go by and visit with her husband, and he was probably at that time in his 80s, but very very cognitive. You know, the cognitive functioning was perfect. I mean, he was just as clear as a bell, as they say, right? And so we went over there and conversed with him, and Brother Adams was probably in his 70s, maybe, or late 60s at the very youngest. And anyway, they were from the country. He was from the country. There was a wonderful connection that was made there. They were talking about things, and I was just listening, you know, to their conversation. And they just made a friendship just like that. And we must have been visiting there for about maybe 20 minutes or so, conversing, having a good time, really having a good time. And then he brought it around to salvation. And my goodness, listen, there must have been about another 20 minutes where he explained salvation just as clear as could be. And I could see him. He was sitting in his chair, and I could see him listening and even maybe, you know, choking up a little bit. How I could see, in my mind, I was thinking how he was reflecting on how he had rejected the Lord for all these years. And he asked him, do you see that you need to know the Lord as your Savior? Yes, everything was on the affirmative. And he said, would you like to trust the Lord? And he said, I do believe I would like to do that. And he got ready to lead him in prayer. And he said, no, not right now. I don't think today. Maybe another day. And I don't know if that man ever trusted the Lord as his Savior. He had his hand on the threshold of eternal life. And listen, the seed of the Word of God was sown. And it just took that long for Satan to come in and snatch it away and him say, not today, not today. And I don't understand that, but I do understand this. God is a merciful God. He is a faithful God. And that will make sense
not so much on this side of eternity at different times, but for sure when we see him face to face, we will see that he is a merciful and gracious God, and we thank the Lord for that. I don't understand it all, but heaven is going to be heaven, amen? And the presence of God is going to be something that only we can only imagine on this side of eternity, but we've got the best in our future. We have the best yet to look forward to, and it's not going to ever end when we stand before the Lord. You know, all of your likes and dislikes and all of the things really that are good in this life, God created that for us. And I cannot imagine what it's going to be like in eternity forever. Because he knows us, does he not? He created us. And by the way, to like things and to enjoy him. And we're going to be enjoying and seeing some things that that really we can only imagine. Then next, look with me, if you would, in verse 5. And let's look at the stony ground. Verse 5, it says, "And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth." Isn't that amazing? Verse 6, "But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." It had no root. It fell on stony ground, but there was not a lot of soil there for it to penetrate. No depth of earth there, and no root was able to be solidified and substantiated there in that life. Verse 16 gives us the explanation there. It says, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." Immediately they are offended. Isn't that something? Not very quickly this takes place. And so what we find here is that there was no root in themselves. The only thing that we could be rooted into is the Lord Jesus Christ as a saved child of God. There's no roots in us. We are the branches, the roots in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the firm foundation. I have seen people follow the Lord for a short time. I'm talking about a year or so. And they get involved. Listen, when something starts off with a big flash and a big bang, it usually goes out that way too. It really does. So, again, you know, there's no root in themselves. They're looking to the wrong place. They're looking to themselves and what they think they should be doing and what they think they shouldn't be doing. And if we're not careful, we don't want to fall into that. The Lord is our strength. Amen? The Lord is our safe place. The Lord is our hope. The Lord is faithful, and we thank the Lord for that. But these individuals, they're on stony ground, and there's no root in themselves, and then they're gone. And then next, we look at those that are among the thorns. Look at verse 7. It says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit." And so we find here that those that are among the thorns, they get choked. Look at verse 18, if you will, with me. It says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And so these are those that have had the idea of a relationship with the Lord, and they're among the thorns. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things. Isn't that amazing how the Lord put that in? There are other things. There are things that can infiltrate our life that will choke out the word of God. And those are the thorns of this world and of this life. Because the things, you know, don't you love going out into the fields and stumbling on a multifloral rose bush, right? One of those thorn bushes. And you didn't know. Sometimes I'll grab a tree. And I'm thinking, now, where did the, man, I'll grab a thorn or something. And I'm like, well, I didn't see that one, right? And I wasn't happy. That didn't bring joy. That brought pain. That brought sorrow. And I was like, whoa. And it made me stop. And you know, listen, it stopped me from moving forward in that direction, doesn't it? It stops us from going forward. That's what thorns do. It keeps us going from the direction that God would have us to go into, and it's not a very pleasant thing. And so people turn away. And I think really sin has done that. Satan surely has done that. And the cares of this world and the things of this world also would try to hedge our way from approaching the things of God that bring eternal life. But then lastly, notice this, the good ground. Verse 8, it says this, And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. I like that. These are those where the seed falls on good ground. And that's you and I tonight. The good ground. And I'll tell you, the only reason why it's good is because God made it good. Amen? God allowed us to receive His Word. Notice what it says here in verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the Word of God, or hear the Word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now listen, remember what we talked about this morning? We have to believe the Word of God, but then we have to receive it. You see, there's a process there. We have to believe what God is saying, that He is God, that He is the Savior, that He is what life is really all about. We have to really believe that, and then we have to receive that for ourselves. I'm going to receive that. I'm going to act upon that, and I'm going to place my life in Your hands. That's the receiving part. I received it to the degree to where it moved me to trust the Lord. Do you see the difference? I can believe, listen, like those people that come so close to salvation, I can believe that the gift of God is right there in front of me, hear it, see it in my heart and mind, and walk away from it. Have people ever done that before? Absolutely. But wait a minute, listen, the child of God can do that as a child of God, concerning the promises of God, and our life will be fruitless. Let me explain to you just briefly what a fruitless life is. It is missing the blessings of God on this side of eternity. As a saved child of God, there's no doubt that you and I will inherit eternal life because of the righteousness of Christ and the mercy of God and the grace of God. All those who believe and receive the Lord as their Savior have eternal life. And we can never be taken out of the hand of God. And I thank God for that. But God says, oh, listen, that's just the beginning of eternity. You can experience God on this side of eternity and yet experience the best that's yet to come when we see Him face to face. And so notice what it says here again in verse 20. These are they which are sown on good ground, listen, such as hear the word. And he could have just stopped there, couldn't he? He could have said, such as hear the word and skip and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. But he didn't say it that way, did he? He said, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. Why did he put that in there? Because we have to receive it if we're going to bear fruit for ourselves. We have to receive it. How do you receive the Word of God? Well, you put your faith in it. So the Lord says, I've come to give you my joy. Did He not say that? And to give you my peace. Not the peace that the world has, my peace. Not the love that the world has, my love. What is the love of God all about? The love of God is sacrificial, is it not? That's the first thing. The love of God is given to those who don't deserve it. So now, God says He's given to us that love. That's why He said that we must love our brothers and sisters in Christ, because if we don't love our brothers, it says brothers, but the implication is brothers and sisters. If we don't love the people of God, how can we say we love God who we've not seen when we don't love our brothers and sisters who we do see? Right? And so now, do you believe that? So if we believe that, and by the way, the peace of God and the joy of God. Now, I can get up in the morning and I can turn on the news and I can make a choice. I'm either going to believe what they're telling me or I'm going to believe what God said. Can I not do that? I can believe, I can walk in this world, I can walk through the day believing what the news is telling me or believing what God has said. And I'll have two different outcomes. If I look to the world, I'll be panicked. I'll be going out there and sticking my head in the sand, you know, and hoping that nothing bad happens. Or I can just say, you know what? The Lord holds the world in his hands. People are saying, you know, Putin is now saying nuclear arms are quite possible. Well, what way is that to live life? Could they release nuclear weapons? Possibly, but isn't Jesus coming again? Is the Bible not true? So are we going to blow ourselves up before the Lord comes back? Do you see what I'm saying? We're either going to believe the word of God or we're going to believe what the world is saying. The world is in panic mode thinking, you know, if Putin doesn't do it, we might blow ourselves up. We're kind of almost in a no-win situation, right? If you look at the world. But if you look at the Lord, who's on the throne? Oh, it's not our politicians? It's not our politicians? Well, my goodness, a lot of them act like a bunch of emperors, don't they? I thought, really? Jesus is on the throne. Isn't that amazing? And he's the one that's in control. And by the way, in our whole history, didn't Napoleon, he called himself emperor. He thought he was so high and mighty, he crowned himself. He took the Pope's position. If you remember the history there, he was defeated. There was fear that Hitler was going to conquer the world. Did he do that? Because it wasn't in God's plan. It wasn't in God's plan. And so there's a better place for you and I as we walk on this side of eternity than in the world. And that's in our God. And so as we look to the Word of God, we have to see the importance that we have to believe and we have to receive. So again, verse 20 says, "And these are they which are sown on good ground." You're already there if you're saved. And then you have to be such as hear the word. You're hearing the word tonight and receive it. In other words, I'm not going to listen to what the world is saying. Bless God, listen. Man, our future is bright. We have eternal life. And we're never going to die. We're gonna leave this world, but we're never going to face the judgment of eternal death because of the grace of God. And we can rest assured on that. And so what God is wanting to do is he's wanting us, listen, to not just believe, but to receive and to walk in that. So now here's the truth. I'm not always on topside. I'm not always on topside. But now I have a decision. When I get into the valley, and the valleys do come, I have a choice to make. It's easy to celebrate when the sun is shining like it was today. We have to be careful what we listen to. Do you believe that? What we listen to influences us more than we realize. So we're getting ready for church. I opened up the windows this afternoon, free air conditioning, enjoyed the sunshine, the nice breeze in there. And I was talking with my wife, and my wife says, you know, it really turned out to be, I don't know exactly what word she said, a beautiful day. And I said, yeah, it is a wonderful day today. And I stopped myself. I almost said in the neighborhood. She finished it for me. I said, it's a wonderful day today. And she said, in the neighborhood. She said, would you be my neighbor? And I thought, and I want you to know, who was that again? What was it? Mr. Rogers. I used to watch Mr. Rogers. And I enjoyed him. He was always a pleasant fellow to listen to as a little kid, you know. And that stuck in my mind. That was a good thing, though. It is a wonderful day in the neighborhood. But even better than that, it's a wonderful day, a beautiful day in the kingdom of God. And you and I are citizens of the kingdom of God. But listen, that stuck in my mind. And my goodness, really, if somebody started to sing that song, how many of us could chime in? Right? How many of us could chime in with that? Because it does influence our lives. We get tickled at that, but the truth of the matter is, we are influenced. And the greatest influence you and I have is the Word of God. And the best way to do that is just say, Lord, listen, I believe, but I want to receive. I want to walk in that truth. That's the way to start. Listen, you don't have to know anything deep and theological. All you have to do is say, God, I trust you. I'm believing what you're saying. I want to receive it. And today, this day, because that's all you have, this day, I'm talking about Sunday here at 6:37 or something like that. Today, this day, I want to walk in what I want to just not believe, but I want to receive and walk in what you've given to me. I don't want to listen to the world. I don't want to listen to my fears and myself. I want to walk in your truth, God. Do you know God will honor that? That's the way it all begins. We think there's some kind of a formula, and all it is just a matter of faith, talking to the Lord and saying, God, how'd salvation come? Did you get deep and theological with the Lord, or did you say, save me, Lord, help me, right? Save me. Well, however you did it, however you trusted the Lord and received him, it's the same way you do it now. So, Lord, today I want to walk in your truth. I want to receive your promises and not lean to my own understanding, but in all my ways I want to acknowledge you. And what did he promise? He'll direct our paths. Isn't that what the Bible says? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? He'll direct our paths. That's his promise. So take God at his promise and watch what he'll do. So tonight, he that hath ears to hear, and you and I do because of salvation, God's opened up our ears. We were born blind, were we not? Who gave us spiritual sight? The Lord did, through salvation. We couldn't hear the word of God before salvation. God opened up our hearing, did he not? We have ears to hear. The world has ears to hear, but they don't hear and understand. You and I have been given ears to hear that understand and can understand by the grace of God. So tonight, just a simple reminder, you and I have been given, through salvation, ears to hear the word of God and to not listen, and ears to hear and to not hear what the world's trying to propagate or what our flesh might be trying to get us to believe. We need to adhere to the word of God, not just say, I believe the word of God, but Lord, I receive it and Lord, guide me in on it. And watch what God will do. That's an opportunity that we have. How often? Every day. Every day. If we'll just call upon the Lord and he'll answer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for each one that's turned aside to hear from you tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would take this simple truth and bless it and multiply it in our lives, that we might look to you on a daily basis, not looking to hear the world or what our flesh might be saying, but to believe you and to receive the truths that you've given to us, and that you might guide us in them to walk in them. Bless, Lord, tonight, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.